Morning. It's good to be up here. I won't be wandering too far away from the mic, so you don't have to worry about worrying me for sound. I'd like to look in Ezekiel chapter 1. Sometimes when you say Ezekiel, everybody sort of cringes. I hope you're not cringing this morning. I hope there's something here for you. We're not going to get caught up with the wheels within the wheels, if that's what you're worried about. Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 1. Now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the fourth month, and the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. And the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of the King Jehoiakim's captivity. The word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river of Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. I want to pull out a few things out of these few first verses. It says that the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God in verse 1. Verse 3, it says the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest. And in verse 3, the hand of the Lord was there upon him. I want to ask you a question, first of all. How many men in our Bibles have had visions of God? How many women have had visions of God? How many people here this morning have had visions of God, have had a real experience of God? Well, if you look back in the Old Testament, you have Enoch, he walked with God. And then you have Noah, he walked with God. Abraham had a vision of God in Genesis 15 where the darkness overshadowed him. Moses had his burning bush experience. Isaiah had his throne room vision. What did all these things have in common? If you look at Noah, you look at Abraham, you look at Moses, it's easy very quickly to determine that each one of these things are very, very different. That's why we call it a personal relationship with God. What you have isn't what he has. And when you met God, it wasn't the same circumstances that he met God. Some people maybe were on their knees beside their bed. Some people were sitting in a gospel meeting. Some people were maybe walking across the field. I remember a story about an old man. He was going out, an old farmer. He was going out to some gospel meetings. And he really didn't want to be there, but his wife got him out there. And he was listening to the gospel preaching, and they talked about the glory of heaven. They talked about the danger of going down into a burning hell. And he was an old guy that he used to smoke his pipe. And I remember what it was like living out in Hampshire and walking through the fields, and sometimes you'd be trying to get through the barbed wire fence, and it always seemed to catch on the back of your shirt. Do you remember that? So he was down, he was getting through, and he used to smoke a pipe. And as he was getting down, he was afraid the pipe tobacco would come outside, fall out of his pipe. So he put his finger over the top of it so the tobacco wouldn't fall out. And when the flames of that tobacco touched his finger, he thought about what the gospel preachers were talking about. And the flames of everlasting fire in the lake of fire had entered into his mind. And he thought, I better get right with God. And it wasn't too long after that the man got saved. But this morning we want to talk about Christians. We want to talk about guys like Enoch, guys like Noah, guys like Abraham, men like Moses. You know, some people, they think this walk with God, this is a pleasure ride. It's like getting in a fancy car and putting the pedal to the metal and just taking off, or getting in an airplane and taking off and laughing your head off all the way. It's interesting, if you read that chapter where Moses had his vision of God when he saw the burning bush, in that same chapter in Exodus chapter 4, it says, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. What? God just finished telling him, he gave him a commission that he was going to be his spokesman. He goes out with the glory of God on his back and with a message of God in his heart. And what happens? The flame died down very quickly. Hasn't that happened to us? You get into a meeting and you get all stirred up and you say, man, I'm going to speak to my neighbor. And then before you get halfway home, those thoughts, they seem to disappear. And coldness seems to settle in. It says, the anger of God was kindled against Moses. And in that very same chapter of Exodus chapter 4, it says, the Lord sought to slay him. What does that mean, brethren? Our God is a holy God. Remember Isaiah's vision of God? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Yes. He's not a God to trifle with. But do you remember that first night or that first morning when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? There was no more fear of God. You know, the wrath of God was placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. And for the first time in your life, you could put your head on your pillow and you could say, it is well with my soul. If I die tonight, you know, we used to pray when we were kids, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. It was a bunch of nonsense. There was no basis for it. But now we're trusting in the finished work of the cross of Calvary, where Jesus Christ laid down his life for our sins. I have a little expression that I heard once in the back of my Bible, and maybe you'll be able to relate to this. It says, with us, there is a difficulty in every opportunity, but with him, there's an opportunity with every difficulty. We've been back in Canada now for 3 years. I've been down in El Salvador for 3 years. The young man back there, Kyler McQuaid, he came down to help us this year. We couldn't have done it without him. We went to my wife's town of San Francisco in Guatemala, San Francisco Petén in Guatemala. On the last day, we had 288 kids at our vacation Bible school, and we had about 30 mums out. Now, try to put 288 kids in a place like this, you know what it's like. They were jammed together. And, you know, I saw a sign out there. It says, scent-free building. Well, that wasn't a scent-free building, I can tell you that. 288 kids all packed in there together. I wish they had some shaving lotion on that morning. But, you know, it's a great opportunity and privilege to work with others in the work of God. And that's what God has called us into, and that's what we want to talk about this morning. When you think about Ezekiel had a vision of God. The heavens were open, the curtains were pulled back, and he saw the glory of God. Not only that, did he have a vision of God, but he heard the word of God. The message of God came unto him, and he received what God wanted to convey to his people. And the hand of the Lord was upon him. It's nice to have God working with you. Sometimes it gets pretty lonely. People are out in the mission field. I hear people praying. And I hear people praying intelligently for them, that the Lord might be with them, that they wouldn't be discouraged, that they would help them learn the language, that they would give them courage. I heard a man by the name of Steve Kember. If you ever get a chance to hear Steve Kember, he spoke at a men's conference out in Vancouver. He's a man that lives up in La Crete, Alberta. He drives 1,500 miles up into the territories up by the tree line and the Arctic Circle up there. And he has his truck filled with tracts and literature, and he's talking to people. He gets up there 1,500 miles up in the Arctic Circle, and then he just sort of freezes up, not the temperature. He freezes up in his heart. And he says, I can't get out of the truck. I drove 1,500 miles to speak to people. And he says, I'm going to turn around and drive home, the first thing my wife's going to say to me is, how did it go? Sometimes we're more afraid of our wives than we are of God. Isn't that something? Yes, he did get out of the truck. He's a man that has laid down his life for God. He's a true missionary in Canada. There's not that many men like him that are actually there going where no man has gone before, as the old Superman things like that used to tell us. Well, looking at this portion, Ezekiel chapter 1, it says, he had a vision of God, and the vision of God was the remedy for what they were going through. Some people get so caught up in the wheels, and they miss God, the wheels within the wheels. Ezekiel was surrounded by others who were disobedient, yet he remained obedient because he had a personal relationship with God. I asked you, what did all these men have in common? They had a personal relationship with God. And that's what we need this morning. A relationship with the message of God to realize that men and women are perishing all around us. A vision that men and women are lost in their sins and their iniquities. A vision with the end to rescue the perishing. We used to sing that song, Rescue the Perishing. Do we still have that burden in our heart? Lead me to some soul today. Teach me, Lord, just what to say. Friends of mine are lost in sin and cannot find their way. Then we look at his circumstances. In the circumstances in which he was living, he was a priest. In the Old Testament, everything revolved around the tabernacle. You had the priesthood and the offerings and the sacrifices, and they were serving God in that realm. Now all of a sudden we see a man that is a priest and he doesn't have a temple nor does he have a tabernacle to work with. And yet he remains faithful to God's call. How does he do that? Well, God changed his ministry from being a priest serving and worshiping God. There was a time in the Old Testament says there was no teaching priest. Part of the job of the priest was to teach the people. To teach them about the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, and what God requires. He requires nothing less than perfectness. And none of us have any of that. That's why we needed a ransom. So here, due to his captivity, he was working in the office of a prophet. It is a mercy to have the word of God brought to us, and it is our duty to attend diligently unto it. In Psalm 107, we have these words. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he heard them out of their distress. And then we have these words, oh, that men would praise God for his goodness. Four times over in that book of Psalm 107, we read that men cried unto the Lord in their times of trouble. I was talking about times of trouble and situations. In the tough difficulties, we see, in the opportunities, we see difficulties. I was talking to my wife this week, and when I left Vancouver, I brought this car from El Salvador. It was a Ford Aerostar. Maybe some mechanic here can tell me how to fix this. But anyway, it had this squeaky fan belt. So I take it to the garage, and you get a new fan belt put on. You figure everything's going to be nice. A couple days later, squeak, squeak, squeak. You put some that spray stuff on. You put soap on there. You try all these here remedies, and it keeps on squeak, squeak, squeak. Everybody can hear you coming a mile away. Anyway, this kept on going on, and anyway, it seems like as soon as I go away, my wife says I can't change the shifter into from first gear, or stuck in first gear. I can't get it into drive, right? So here I am, I'm on the phone, and I'm talking to her, and so anyway, a neighbor comes across the street, and he starts talking to her about the car, and he wants to help her with the car. He heard it over across the street, the noise of the car, and so on. So anyway, she goes over, and there's a bakery out there called Cobb's Bakery. And every Friday night, we have the opportunity, there's another Christians, and all the bread that's left over at the end of the day, they cannot sell it. And so they give it to us, and we distribute it among a whole number of people. Well, I've been working with Guatemalan people. When I left Vancouver to go down to El Salvador, it was all farmland. When I come back 10 years later, the place is nothing but greenhouses, miles and miles of these greenhouses. So they're importing all these Mexican workers and Guatemalans and so on. So I'm having Bible studies with these Guatemalan people. And the Bible studies, everybody was so enthusiastic. We're talking about people that are involved with ESL. And you get some of these people, and they say, yeah, I want to learn English. And it peters out pretty quickly, anybody that's been involved with it. And you can get frustrated, and you can get discouraged. But you know, we are fishers of men. Has anybody here ever gone fishing? And you bring your basket, and you bring everything ready, and you're going to fill us their fishing basket, and you bring extra bags to put all the fish in. But you never seem to catch them, do you? Every now and then you have a good day and you get some fish and you think, I'm going to go back to that same hole and that's my private place and you're going to get fish, but you don't get them. And that's what it's like when we're fishing for men. We're fishing for women. We're telling others about the gospel and they should want to be saved. It's the best news in the world. That's what the word gospel means. It's good news. Anyway, so out of this difficulty, there's a lady that lived upstairs, and my wife brought over some bread because they were trying to help her with the car and stuff like that. And one of the ladies upstairs is a Filipina. And it's interesting because we have been praying. My wife goes down to the farmer's market, and she buys the vegetables. And down there, it's all Filipinos working. And I said, and they become friends. She thought they were Spanish people, and she started talking. She can't even tell the difference between them. So she starts talking to these people, and she becomes friends, and they all address her by name. And I said, you know, we want to have a Filipina Bible study. I can't speak their language. We're going to speak in English. That's why it works. So these are very social people. So we want to have this, and we've been praying about this here. And so all of a sudden, this girl up in the top floor that's looking after these kids in this here house, and my wife is talking about church, and actually this morning she is going to church with my wife. And she says, it's too bad you only have your Bible study in Spanish. And my wife says, well, actually, we've been praying to have a Bible study with Filipinos. No, I don't want it in my language. Well, that's good, because I can't speak their language either. So anyway, we're going to start a Bible study with her. So it's interesting. The Lord will open up doors for you if you say, lead me to some soul today. Teach me, Lord, just what to pray. Here was a man, if he looked at his occupation as being a priest, it would be impossible that he could serve God the way that he was supposed to serve God. But God was conveying his message onto Ezekiel. The voice of God came in the fullness of light and power by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon him. And these visions were sent to possess the prophet's mind with great and high thoughts of God, to strike terror upon sinners and to speak comfort to those that feared God and humbled themselves. You know, in that great captivity, there would be a lot of people that maybe were serving God, but because of the disobedience of the nation, they were carried away from their homes. And Ezekiel was there, sent there to speak to them. Drop down to the end of the chapter 24, verse 24. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings and the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the power of speech, as the noise of the host when they stood, when they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood, that had let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire throne. Upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about it, from the appearance of the loins even upward, and from the appearance of the loins even downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and it had the brightness round about it, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard the voice of the one that spoke to me. The voice caught his attention. Do you hear God's word? Sometimes we say, well, this is my daily Bible reading. I have a chart and I have to read these three chapters today. But do you actually hear God's word? Can you say, when the man speaks up front on Sunday morning, can you say, yes, I got this from it. This is what I am supposed to obey. This is what I'm supposed to put into practice. Yes, my Christian life has been slipping. I am not reading. I haven't been praying. I haven't been testifying to the glory of God. I was just thinking, you know, every time I come back to the island, I think about how many years ago since I was that I was in high school. You know, next year would be my 40th anniversary since I left high school. 40 years since I graduated from grade 12. I want to tell you young people that are just graduating now or just have graduated, these days are going to go like that. Prepare yourself now. Drink in the word of God into your heart. Use this time to serve God. Use this time to build your relationship with God. So many young people, they're trying to accumulate so many things, and we've all been there, and we're trying to get and get and get. And when you get older, you see old people, and they're trying to give away their stuff, and nobody wants it. Isn't that true? You're in a big house, and you're trying to move into a smaller apartment, and you're trying to get rid of the things. We come into the world like babies grasping. You ever see a newborn baby? And everybody wants to go and they want to stick their finger in the baby's hand because the baby will always do the same thing, grab onto it hard. That's the way the babies come into the world. But you know, when we leave the world, our hands loosen. We leave everything behind. We leave it all behind. But here was a man that realized that he was in the presence of God. He heard the voice of God. And then he sees a vision, a Christophany, a visible manifestation of Jesus before his incarnation. The Bible says the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Now, some people say, you know, there's a group of people that do not believe that Jesus Christ was the eternal Son of God. They believe that he became the Son of God at Bethlehem. I want to give you a verse just to clarify that for you. If you run into these people, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9, it says, the Father sent his only begotten Son into the world. So he was his Son in glory. John chapter 17, he talks about sharing his glory that he had with his Father before the world was formed. So we see the appearance of the throne of God. And it was like a consuming fire. What kind of a respect do you have for God? Or how do you really imagine God? Where we lived in El Salvador, there was pictures all around of what they believed God was. They had pictures of Mary in every house that you would go to. There's pictures of Jesus. There's pictures of saints. We lived in a town called San Sebastian, and the last 2 weeks of January every year, they had the patron saint festivals, and they carried Saint Sebastian all the way around the town. And people worshipped him. Thou shalt not worship idols. Is that hard to get, to grasp? And then you'd go by a bookstore. It's a Catholic bookstore. I was brought up Catholic. I'm not knocking Catholics. I'm talking about what they're actually teaching. And on the store, it says, we sell images. We sell, doesn't say we sell idols. But in Exodus chapter 20, when the Lord talked about the Ten Commandments, make no graven image of anything that is in heaven. Do you believe that Jesus is in heaven? I believe he's there. Why is there images of him? Is Mary in heaven? I believe she's in heaven. Why is there images of her? Why are people gathered in front of her praying to her? Ezekiel chapter 2. We have the voice of God, which is what's most important. We're going to run through these 10 verses one at a time. It says, "And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak to you." So here we have the readiness of the servant. Isaiah could say, "Here am I, send me." Are you ready this morning to obey God's voice? Verse 2, "The Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me." Why was he not on his feet? Because he was in the presence of God and he was flat on his face. So here we see the Spirit of God equipping the man of God to acquaint him with the difficulty of the task and to encourage him in the execution of his office. "And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee unto the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day." You think it's easy preaching the gospel? Last year when I was in El Salvador, we went around the town preaching the gospel. We had preached in 40 different locations in the open air. In the open air, corner to corner. Here you can go out here in the corner and you could stand all day preaching and there'd be, nobody would hear you because everybody's in their cars driving by. So there's advantages in the difficulties of this, of the regions that you're in. You'd say, "Well, how are they living like this?" Well, you realize it's an opportunity that God said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." So we see the commission of the servant. There must be a definite call from God. Your inspiration to preach is never in front of you, but it's always behind you. The Lord said, "So send I you." Verse 4, who were his audience? "For they are an impudent children, stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and you shall say unto them, Thus saith the Lord." So we see his audience, the people that we preach to. We think they should be welcoming our preaching, but they certainly don't. Verse 5, And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet they shall know that there has been a prophet among them. Do your neighbors know that you're a Christian? Do they know that you're a servant of God? Do they recognize that you have that relationship with Christ? Or are you just a religious person? Oh, he just goes to that church on Sunday. You can be the best neighbor in the world. You can cut your grass. You can have an amazing flower bed all the way around your house. But if you never tell others that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, you're not doing them any justice. You're not helping them. When I went to high school, nobody had ever spoke to me about being saved. It was my unsaved brother was the first one that I heard the gospel from. Can you imagine that? They were having tent meetings, and he was going out to tent meetings, and they're having gospel meetings, and he heard the gospel being preached, and he said it was so different than what we heard when we grew up. There's people saying that how they had been saved and how they had their sins forgiven and how they were going to heaven. They knew that they were going to heaven, not because they were good people, but because Jesus Christ died for their sins. But yet, he didn't even believe it. He was telling my mom, "Mom, you have to go out and hear these men preaching." And so much as it is like in our own lives. Yes, we believe it in here, but we don't believe it in here with so much of a desire to share the word of God. Verse 6, "Be not afraid. And thou, O son of man, be not afraid of them, neither afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns be with thee, though you dwell with scorpions, be not afraid of their words, neither be dismayed by their looks, though they be a rebellious house." And how many times you were ready to share the gospel and somebody just gave you a wrong look? They were smiling, and all of a sudden, when you're ready to open up your mouth, all of a sudden, they had a sort of a cranky look on their face. "No, no, I can't talk to that person." We've been there. Verse 7, "And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear, whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. So we not only see the frailty of the servant, we see the faithfulness of the servant. And the faithfulness of the servant includes that we should not be giving our opinions. We should be able to say, thus saith the Lord. Don't say, I think this is the way it is. Verse 8, but thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like to the rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. So he had the counsel of the servant. He wasn't to be swayed by the audience. And how many times do we see that in the society we're living in? People are changing the message because they want to make it more palatable. They want to make it more user-friendly, more seeker-friendly. And he was told, and when I look, behold, there was sent out unto me, lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it out before me, and it was written inside and outside, and there was written there lamentations and mourning and woe. So the message that Ezekiel had was a message of lamentations, of warning, of woe. There's so many churches that are preaching the prosperity gospel. As long as you follow along and do all the nice things, you're going to upgrade your car, you're going to upgrade your house, you're going to have a summer cottage down here, you're going to have a vacation spot in Hawaii or the Barbados or places like that. But I want to leave you with these closing thoughts. How many men had visions of God? How about you? What is your personal relationship with God this morning? Do you spend time with him in prayer? Someone said, what's more important, reading your Bible or praying? Now answer that in your head. The preacher says, ask the bird which is more important, his left wing or his right wing. Right? Because when we read the word of God, God is feeding us. When we speak to him, sometimes it's a release that we need. Have you ever felt that emptiness in your soul? Have you ever felt that burden and it's like nothing can fill it and you're just aching inside? And yes, Christians all through the ages have felt like that. And if you feel like that, that's good. Why? Because you're not satisfied with the status quo. You know there's something better. And you, if you get right with God this morning, you could change that. To the churches in the book of Revelation, he talks about repent, repent, repent. Recognize the way you've been living for the last few months, or maybe the last few years. You're turning God off. You're putting him over there. Yes, I'll fit you in between 10 and 11, but no more. No, God wants to draw you in. You think about the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 11. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This morning you're burdened. This morning you feel like that need for God, that you want that relationship that you had the night you got saved. Remember singing that song, oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful that you initiated the relationship. It's not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Yes, he bore them on the tree. He was taken by wicked men, and there he was slain. Even though it looked like everything was going against God's plan, it was all in your plan that he would be the spotless sacrifice. Yes, we sing, behold, a spotless victim dies, but he wasn't a victim. Yes, he went willingly. He said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down by myself. And Father, we're thankful that he cried in a loud voice, it is finished. The work of redemption was done. So, Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity to open up your word and be refreshed as we see how our relationship is lacking with you. but you desire, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. We thank you for this promise. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.